Blog Talk Radio.
There is a sixth dimension beyond that which is known to men.
Really?
It is a dimension as immense as the sky and as perpetual as eternity. It is the middle ground between illumination and darkness, between knowledge and ignorance. It lies between the depths of man's horror and the apex of his learning. This is a dimension of fantasy. It is an area which we call the Eerie Zone.
Today is cold.
Must be the Cleveland accent. That guy sounds like he has a cold. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
Dave Bigley from Wayne Destroy Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
And together. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe someday this year we'll be saying, and author of the Caveman book. We're getting there. I'm working
on it. You could say that now. You are the author. It's just not finished publicating. Yeah,
it's not quite ready for publication. Yeah,
it ain't publicating. I'm gonna create words here.
Why not?
Good times tonight. We're wrapping up our
wrapping up our
weekend about boats and cruising. And if you're not listening,
you'll
feel sunk.
Yes, indeedy. Yeah, we got the. Interesting show from CBS Radio Mystery Theater with my favorite CBS Radio Mystery Theater writer, Bob Jordan, making an appearance with the story tonight. It is something that is, it's a fun story. I can't wait to share this with everyone tonight. It's a cool story. This is one of those ones that I had and played a cassette over and over and over again.
Yeah, Dave, you have professed your fondness for his work a number of times on this show, so I am looking forward to this one because they're always good. We trust
they are,
your judgment.
You trusting fool, you.
Yeah. Well, you know. I'll get what I deserve. Boot to the head.
Oh, my.
Something like that, but good radio tonight.
You had something there you was going to share with us.
Yeah, I lost it.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Wait a second.
I guess
I lost it.
The big Chuck and John page. Let me see. You guys, that's what it was.
All right. Let me find something from there. There we go. It's the...
Yeah. It should be interesting.
It's the...
One,
oh,
actually,
yeah.
A bit of broadcast history is what it is.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Where were you on February 12th? 1972. This is a listing for Akron and Cleveland area. It's actually from the Akron Beacon Journal. Over on the Big Chuck page, they posted a television program. And let me tell you how my day would have gone. Okay, so this is pre-cable now. We're talking, at least for me, in 1972, I probably would have had Woody Woodpecker and Pink Panther starting at 9 a.m. At 8 o'clock, Bugs Bunny. And then on Channel 8 for a half an hour, and then the Roadrunner Show on Channel 5. Waha. Then on over to Woody Woodpecker and Pink Panther on Channel 3. That was NBC. Right. Probably the Jetsons. No. At 10 o'clock, got to flip on over to Channel 61 for the Three Stooges. Then at 11, the Addams Family for an hour, and then two episodes or an episode of the Munsters. So Addams Family and Munsters back to back on Channel 61. 12 o'clock, Johnny Quest followed by Lancelot Link, which takes you to 1 o'clock, and Superhost comes on Channel 43. That's a UHF channel, gang. Earth versus the Flying Saucers, followed at 2:30 by The Day the World Ended. That takes you into 4 o'clock. I'm probably watching Combat after that on 61. And then 5 o'clock is probably a good time to eat dinner. Come back at 6 for Maverick on Channel 43. Hee-Haw on Channel 8. followed by All in the Family and Mary Tyler Moore taking you to 9 o'clock. Probably the Dick Van Dyke Show, followed by Arnie, whatever that is. And then find something to do, read comic books for an hour, because at 11 o'clock, The Ghoul comes on with Rodan. Or, if you're really tired of The Ghoul, at 11:30, Channel 43 had Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. So that was all in one day. You know, you didn't have billions of channels. There were 8 of them that you could reach in this area. And one of them we never watched, Channel 17. I very rarely picked that up. Where was that from? WJAN.
Yeah, I could get that. That was down in Canton, so I could get
Canton.
That.
Ah, a little Canton station.
Yeah.
Yep. They had some high school basketball going on. And
yeah,
Honeymoon in Bali.
Okay.
Right.
Third of the week, we had Milton the Milkman.
I liked Milton the Monster. He was cool. Anybody remember Milty the Monster? CW joins us here.
Hello, everyone. It seems like we're reminiscing about the days of analog.
Yes.
Indeed we are.
Rubber bands and coat hangers and whatever it took to keep that TV going.
Ah, yes. Rabbit ears on the television with yards and yards and yards of aluminum foil, which yours truly does use now to get something called Wi-Fi. I use lots of aluminum foil to get Wi-Fi. So the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yep.
Now, those rabbit ears that you talk about, you know, if you touch them, your body would also act as antenna. You get coming stronger. Can't tell you how many times I had my little brother stand there on one foot holding the antenna so I could watch the TV show.
Oh, my God.
Well done. Well done.
Nice one. To say nothing of the fact when you got your cavity filled, it was a two-tier thing. It helped remove it, took care of the cavity, but also if you shifted your head just a little bit, you could probably pick up a few radio stations as well as that Channel 17 that never came in clearly.
Well, it was not a real high power station. It wasn't exactly low power, but it wasn't real high power. That's why Dale would have probably almost never gotten it up in Cleveland, because you were up in the west side of Cleveland at the time, right, Dale?
East 72? Side, actually. At that point, I lived in Deadford Heights.
Oh, okay.
I'm a graduate of Deadford High School. Yeah.
Sorry, what was it? Deadford Heights?
Well,
yeah,
Bedford
actually,
Heights.
It used to go under the name of Bedford Heights. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say. So the school mascot is a zombie. Deadford Heights, home of the fighting zombies.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you're just in time. We got a CBS Radio Mystery Theater program for you as we round out our boating weekend. The Devil's Boudiqui.
No, boutique.
It's Boudiqui. I checked out phonetically.
They're going to pronounce it incorrectly the entire episode. So when they say boutique, they're actually meaning Boudiqui. So. Just remember that, everybody.
No, I checked the phonetic spelling in my Funkin' Wagonals.
Oh, my goodness. Have a bit more finesse. It's Boo-Tai-Q.
Thank you.
There you are.
I do stand corrected. That I'll accept. Boo-Tai-Q.
Yeah, okay. I think your Funkin' Wagonals got a wheel missing or something.
Well,
yes, I think your Funkin' Wagonals needs a little bit of Lysol.
Just never mind my Funkin' Wagnalls, guys. But
you brought it up.
That's
you
true.
Brought it up.
I did. I confess. I confess my sin.
Oh.
But we should probably get started with this baby. We got plenty of time tonight for lots of fun.
We've got lots of time tonight. Yes, we do.
Oh,
and what
awesome.
Episode?
All aboard, everyone. Not the love boat.
Thanks, good old Bob and Fogsbane, for joining us in the chat. Here's part one. Do we got an episode number and a broadcast date? I'll bet we do.
We do. It's called episode number 320, and it was first broadcast August 4th of 1970 and 5.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. How does a Mediterranean cruise in the sun sound to you? All expenses paid. Not very sinister? Rather pleasant, eh? That's what you think. For when this cruise is only half finished, I think you'll be ready to abandon ship and take the next plane home. We're on a cruise with Elvira Graham, one of the world's leading fashion designers. Her escort, Tony Butler, and her daughter, Marjorie. At the moment, our ship is docked in the Libyan coastal town of Derna. Elvira and Tony have gone sightseeing, trying to find a certain shop they heard about from the ship's captain.
This is so deserted. There can't be any stores down here.
Oh, it's not a very long alley. Let's look. Oh, there's a candle shop.
Would that be it?
Well, it doesn't seem to be anything else.
Elvira, I don't like this. Let's get out of here.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
It's just too strange. We've gone almost the whole length of the alley, and there's nothing but that candle shop, and that's closed.
Tony, wait. Look up ahead. The alley doesn't end. It makes a turn.
Let's go back. Captain Miller said the store didn't really exist, and I believe him.
We can at least look. Come on. Tony, look! There it is!
Our mystery drama, The Devil's Boutique, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Bob Juren and stars Joan Loring and Robert L. Green. It is sponsored in part by the Florida Orange Growers and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Come on, America!
For Summer Juice, 100% pure orange juice from Florida. 100% pure, yet costing the same or less than many carbonated and synthetic beverages. Now that's pure value.
Orange Juice, America's Summer Juice.
From the Florida Orange Growers.
Earthquakes, the shifting, trembling earth, falling objects, debris are a constant threat to life and property for many countries, including the United States. And should a natural disaster occur, you can count on the American Red Cross being there, reaching out to the people. The Red Cross Disaster Program meets the urgent needs of victims after a disaster or in advance of a potential crisis, extending a helping hand, just like a good neighbor. And that's what we are, your American Red Cross.
Now you can take it with you, your lunch. That is, True Value Hardware Store's August Bargain of the Month is a Thermos Outing Kit, a $17.95 value for just $8.97. The outing kit includes everything you need to pack a portable lunch on a picnic, to the beach, aboard a boat, to the park for a baseball game. You get 2-quart-sized vacuum bottles. They'll keep hot drinks cold and cold drinks cold for hours. The cap on each bottle serves as a drinking cup. You get a roomy sandwich box with a hinged cover so your lunch will stay fresh so the sandwiches won't get squashed. And you get a handsome plaid zipper case to hold the 2 bottles and the box. Strong handles make it easy to carry, just like a miniature suitcase. At your nearby True Value Hardware store, you can get all 4 pieces for just $8.97. Half the regular price of $17.95. This Thermos Outing Kit is the August Bargain of the Month, just $8.97 at participating True Value Hardware Stores. It's 10:36 in Chicago. Temperature reading is 81 degrees.
Elvira Graham found the Devil's Boutique, and that was her greatest mistake.
She found it on a sunny afternoon in Derna on that Mediterranean cruise. And what happened after that? Well, Tony Butler will have to tell us. A year has passed since that fateful afternoon, and at the moment, we're in the office of Lieutenant Morgan, 31st Precinct.
Come in, Mr. Butler. Sit down.
Thanks.
Sergeant McKay says you can identify the body, the Lady of the Earrings.
Yes.
Oh, good. We'll go right down to the morgue and...
I don't have to see her, Lieutenant. I know who it is.
Well, viewing is absolutely necessary, but we can do it later. Who is she?
Elvira Graham.
Was she a friend of yours, a relative?
A friend.
Elvira Graham. We put her age at about 50.
If you'd seen her in life, you'd have thought she was 30. But you were close. She was 52.
I'd appreciate your giving us a statement, Mr. Butler. Tell us all you can about her. Cause of death was drowning, no marks on the body. We have it down as suicide, but we still can't rule out murder.
I'll make a statement, but would you do me a favor? Keep it out of the press.
Well, it's already news, Mr. Butler.
I know that. It was the item in the paper that brought me in here.
Ordinarily, with an unidentified body floating in the river isn't that much news, but a nude woman in earrings and fantastic lipstick...
That's why I know without the shadow of a doubt it's Elvira Graham. And that's why I wish you could keep what I'm about to tell you out of the papers.
Well, I'll do what I can, Mr. Butler, but... Well, they don't have to know every detail. We'll have to release her identity, though.
Yes, I see that. A lot of people are wondering what happened to Elvira Graham, and now they'll know. But the woman suffered enough.
Yeah, she won't suffer anymore.
No, I guess not. She was admired, hated, adored, despised, envied.
You say you're a friend. She has no relatives?
Only a daughter. I'm here in her stead.
The daughter's name?
Marjorie.
Marjorie Graham. Just relax and tell us all you can about Elvira Graham. I'll ask questions later.
Elvira Graham was a fashion designer. At her peak, the best. And she had a knack of making sure that no one, but no one, ever looked better than Elvira Graham. It was almost a year ago, in June. She just had a showing of her fall line, and she, Marjorie and I, were starting off on a cruise to relax. I was her escort of the moment.
Roger! Bye! Bye! Tell Amy I'll bring her a souvenir from Italy! I said tell Amy I'll bring her...
Can't hear you, Elvira, dear. Just wave.
Oh. Bye! Bye!
Marjorie, give me a streamer, quick. You've thrown them all, Mother.
Oh.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Come along. Let's go back and finish up that champagne.
I think you've had enough, Mother.
How many times do I have to tell you, Marjorie? I'll be the judge of that. Oh, I'm exhausted. Pour me one more, Tony. Thank heaven Marjorie's gone to her own cabin. She is so tiresome sometimes. I think I've had too much champagne, darling. Be honest.
Well, you do want to look your best Captain Sailor tonight.
Sweet, sweet, Tony. You have such a knack. For what, I'm not sure yet, but a knack, you're absolutely right. You drink this. I'm going to take a nap.
I think I'll go up on deck for a while.
Tony?
Hmm?
Do you think that dress Charlotte Remsen was wearing made her look slimmer? Maybe a little taller?
Definitely. You designed it that way.
Yes. Made her look almost too attractive, I think. Well, I'm not going to think about work anymore. We're here to relax. Kiss me, Tony. And let Elvira get her beauty rest.
Marjorie, I thought you were in your cabin.
Oh, it's too exciting to stay down there. What's Mother doing?
Napping.
Of course, I needn't have asked.
Marge, why do you stay so close to Elvira? Don't you want a life of your own?
I could ask the same of you, couldn't I?
Touché.
Are you in love with my mother, Tony?
Love?
No. And you know she's not in love with me. We're companions. I'm convenient. And vice versa.
The great Elvira Graham. She picks her men the way she picks her wardrobe.
But it's fun while it lasts. Escort to the great Elvira Graham. And all that press doesn't hurt my acting career.
Well, at least you're honest, Tony. Probably the first who was.
Thank you. But you didn't answer my question, and I've answered yours.
Why do I stay so close? I admire her, too. But I love her. So many people are jealous of her, and I feel maybe I'm the one little sincere spot in her life. I don't always agree with her.
And she wants you with her. I know that.
I wondered about that. Why the glamorous Elvira Graham wants her 20-year-old daughter tagging along.
Ever stop to think she loves you?
Yes, I think she does.
And let's face it, you add to her image. Who would believe that anyone as young as Elvira could have a 20-year-old daughter?
I've heard that before. Mother's always been vain. But lately, Tony, it's becoming more of an obsession.
She's the acknowledged queen of fashion. What would you expect?
She's putting it before everything else. She sold her soul to vanity.
Such profundity from one so young.
Don't laugh at me, Tony. I'm worried.
I'm not laughing at you, Marge. But there's nothing we can do about Elvira's personality. We just live with it. Or
what?
Or leave it. And for the moment, it suits me to live with it. Come on. Why don't you take a nap, too? You want to look your best? We're at the captain's table tonight.
How could I forget it?
Mother, come in, dear.
I just wondered if you were ready to go up for dinner. Tony and I have had a cocktail already.
Yes, just about. But I see you're not Marjorie.
I am. That's why I came by.
But Marjorie, you're not going to wear that scarf with that dress.
Well, yes, I am.
Oh, no, dear. The dress is chiffon. It looks fine, but you don't cover décolleté as low as that with a scarf. It's ridiculous. Besides, it's the wrong color. It should contrast, if anything.
But I thought it was perfect.
Perfect? Marjorie, I cannot understand how the daughter of Elvira Graham can be so insensitive to style. Doesn't anything rub off?
Mother, this...
We're dining at the captain's table. It may not mean anything to you, but it does to me.
I disagree with you about the scarf, but I'll give in to your superior judgment.
No, darling, you'll find it's always right. Now, hurry and replace that dreadful scarf with a string of plain simple pearls and change your lipstick. It's too bright.
I'll meet you in the dining room.
You do understand. I just want you to look your best. Well, you must always look your best, my dear. But never better than Mother. I've never tasted such wine, Captain.
A very special vintage, saved for very special guests.
Oh, you flatter me, sir.
Have some more, Marjorie.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm fine.
Do, Marjorie. It's bound to improve your disposition.
Just a little there. Mr. Butler?
Thanks.
This isn't your first crew, Mrs. Graham.
The first was such a charming captain.
Now, who's flattering?
No, I was quite honored to be asked to your table, Captain.
Oh, my pleasure, Mrs. Graham. I've been admiring those pearls, Miss Graham. Are they natural?
Yes, and matched. Thank you for noticing, Captain.
Stunning.
Really? I always thought Marjorie's neck was too thick for pearls.
Mother,
a light scarf might have been more suitable, perhaps.
I bow to your expertise, Mrs. Graham, but I do like the pearls.
Thank you, Captain.
As a matter of fact, I know a place you'd both be interested in. Have you ever heard of the Devil's Boutique?
Devil's Boutique? No.
Sounds fascinating.
It's a little shop in Derna on the Libyan coast. I've heard some of my passengers talk about it.
If it's unusual, it's for Elvira.
Apparently it is unusual, all right. Actually, they tell me the shop itself has no name, and it's very difficult to find, even with directions.
How curious. What do you mean?
Well, I've had passengers tell me about the unusual things they've bought in this shop. Clothes, accessories, scented candles, everything.
Oh, that sounds charming.
But I've had others who claim they've never even been able to find it. That's apparently why it's called the Devil's Boutique.
Elvira will find it.
When will we be in Derna?
In about 9 days.
Oh, there's lots of cruise to enjoy before then.
Yes, our first stop is Cadiz. Then we swing into the Mediterranean.
Oh, well, here's to the Mediterranean. And the Devil's Boutique.
The next few days were filled with fun, shuffleboard, and swimming. Elvira made sure everyone knew Elvira Graham was aboard. She'd spend a half hour deciding on just the right outfit for the time of day she'd make her appearance. Even the shade of her lipstick changed. One color for morning, another for cocktails. We stopped for a day at Cadiz and then slipped into the Mediterranean.
There it is, on the horizon.
Derna.
We'll dock in about 2 hours.
How long will we be there, Captain?
We'll leave with tonight's tide, about 7 o'clock.
Good. We'll have all afternoon for sightseeing.
You'll excuse me. I have to get to the bridge.
Certainly.
I have such a strange excitement about this city, Tony. There's something about the name, Derna.
And the challenge of finding that fascinating shop.
And this was supposed to be a non-work vacation.
There's no such thing for me, and you know it. If I don't keep ahead of the pack, well, besides, it's fun. We'll sightsee in Derna, and I won't leave until I find that Devil's Boutique.
I can tell you one thing. You wouldn't catch me going near a place with a name like that. And I certainly wouldn't go out of my way to find it. But then, for a woman as vain and determined as Elvira Graham, it might be just the place. Vanity, like love, is blind. And Elvira has no inkling of the strange fate that awaits her in the Devil's Boutique. I'll return shortly.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick. All your life, you've been denied the things you want, haven't you?
Dad, can I have that mountain?
No.
Sandra Sue, can I have a...
No.
A handshake?
No.
Pet your dog?
I think not.
Sergeant, may I have a weekend pass instead of marching through the swamp with the rest of the fellows?
But you're your own person now, aren't you? And you want to make up for all those good times you've been denied, don't you? So now, if you want something, you ought to darn well be able to have it. Yes? Even a Skyhawk. Buick's sporty personal little road car that comes with a famous Buick V6. A car with flair, spirit. A car to make up for all the Christmases you wanted sleds but got socks. So if you want to buy a Skyhawk, by golly, you go right down and ask your Buick dealer. He won't tell you no.
It's mine? To keep? Gee.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Come on over.
Here's a different kind of a mystery for you. How can you be in four places at once? It's no mystery at Northwest Federal Saving. Every Northwest Federal Saver can be in four places at once in all four Northwest Federal Saving Centers. How? Well, the minute you become a Northwest Federal Saver, our computer registers you in all four places. Open your account at any saving center, and you can use any office anytime you want to make a deposit or a withdrawal or to pay utility bills. You can do all this and more in the Northwest Federal Saving Center nearest you. So come visit Irving Park, west of Cicero, in Des Plaines, Norridge, and now Arlington Heights at Algonquin and Golf Roads. Now the only mystery is how Northwest Federal can make it even easier for you to save. Remember, we keep trying 63 hours a week.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
Only that 53? How lazy can you be? I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm shocked. Shocked and appalled.
Lazy Americans. Lazy Americans.
Oh, You're supposed to
always,
work.
But they always said, you know, if you lived on, you know, banker's hours, you didn't really work. So 53 hours is a lot of hours for a bank.
True. I guess.
And a banker is also getting all kinds of holidays for bankers, you know, like St. Grunion's Day, things like that. You get those days off. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah,
indeed. I worked in banking. It's the execs that get that perk, let me tell you that.
That's
us working grunts.
Wow.
It was interesting that car commercial, the great William Shallert did the voiceover for that. And tonight, starring Joan Loring, who always had a very alluring, almost seductive type voice. That was whenever they needed that, they usually called on to Joan Loring for that kind of a role.
Okay, sounds good to me.
So she's our fashionista, our devil who wears Prada before the devil who wears Prada.
Yeah.
Apropos, actually.
I wonder if she wore the devil's Prada at the Devil's Boutique. I don't know.
We'll find out for sure. Good little tale.
Yeah.
Boy, that woman's
a
meanie.
Yesterday, CW, Dale and I had not been on a cruise. Gar had, if you consider being in the Navy, a cruise. Had you ever been on a cruise?
The closest I've been on a cruise is when somehow I was awakened out of bed thinking it was all a bad dream, being driven before the crack of dawn to a bus to go to summer camp.
Yes, it was all a bad dream.
You know that was coming.
It was. And we were on this small lake. It was an ocean as far as I was concerned, but it was a lake. And it was windy. And I told the camp counselor, I don't think we should go on there in the canoe. Did they listen to me? No. Well, one of the white caps that, if you're familiar with water, when it gets a little wavy, you'll get white caps on the water.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Came right up the bow of said canoe and splash dunk. I lost my favorite hat and my best sunglasses, and I got drenched. Not knowing how to swim at the time.
I'd sue the lake if I were you. I'd sue the lake if I were you. Yeah.
I would have sued everybody if I had the wherewithal. Just like a, looked like a wet squirrel, actually. So that was my, that's my adventure on the high seas.
Oh, an adventure nonetheless, though. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't like flying, and I don't like boats. They don't. Neither one. They don't let me drive. So, yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
It must have been a nice sized lake. If you got white caps on, it must have been a nice sized lake there.
I guess it was. They said it wasn't that big of a lake. Said, oh, that lake's not big. Yeah, it was to me. And if somehow in the vastness of cyberspace that camp counselor happens to, kind of sort of remember that, I have a message for you.
Uh-oh. Did I hear a raspberry?
I heard a raspberry.
Full of freshly picked raspberries.
Wow. I like it.
I'm trying to keep it PG here.
Oh, that's all right. PG plus. Good old Bob said the unmentionable. About Anita Bryant. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. She.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I think they went right back to Bing. I think we went back to right back to Bing Crosby after she did it the first time. Yeah.
Actually, that was very, very cathartic getting that out. Actually, that's I guess cheaper than hiring a psychiatrist. Thank you. Erie House, where psychiatric treatment is optional.
Gee, you would think mandatory.
But alcoholism, yeah. You have a problem here? Take this drink here. Yeah.
It's good for you.
Hold on.
Just guzzle it down.
That's right.
As Red Skelton said, guzzlers, a nice, smooth drink.
Somehow that sounds almost like Freddy the Freeloader. Kind of thing. But we got a good story here. Let's hit it with part two of the Devil's thing.
Boutique.
Tickly.
Most women are particular about their appearance, which everyone should be. But with some, it becomes an obsession. Elvira Graham was pushed by an ego that demanded to be first, pulled by a vanity that demanded most of her attention. And both were responsible for her downfall.
Marjorie, why aren't you dressed? We're going ashore.
I'm not going, Mother. I feel like staying on the ship.
Well, do as you like. Tony and I are going into town and find that shop the captain told us about.
You go ahead. I'll be all right. I just don't feel like going.
This is exciting. I've never seen a place like this.
I wish we knew where we were going.
The captain said follow the main street to the water well and then take the first alley on the right.
If it's that simple, how come some people couldn't find it?
They didn't want to find it badly enough. Come along, Tony.
Why don't we just stroll and enjoy the sights on the way?
Time for that later. Here's the alley. First right after the well.
You're going down there?
Of course.
This is so deserted. There can't be any stores down here.
Oh, it's not a very long alley. Let's look. There's a candle shop.
Would that be it?
Well, it doesn't seem to be anything else.
Elvira, I don't like this. Let's get out of here.
Well, there's nothing to be afraid of.
It's just too strange. There's nothing but that candle shop, and that's closed.
Well, maybe we could knock and ask. Somebody might be in the back.
I think we better get out of here.
Oh, I hate to just... Wait, Tony, look. Up ahead. The alley doesn't end. It makes a turn.
Let's go back.
Well, we can at least look.
This is crazy. There wouldn't be a store hidden back there.
Captain Miller said it was hard to find, and it's probably worth it.
I can't imagine why.
Tony, look. There it is.
There it was, just ahead of us. The windows of a quaint boutique, dimly lighted. And in the window, belts, dresses, slacks, scarves, accessories, beads. Elvira literally jumped with joy.
Tony, we found it. And it's open. Come on. Oh, look at the things in this window. Tony, that belt.
It is different.
It's fabulous. I could design a whole suit around that. Let's go in.
The captain was right. There's no name on it.
There weren't on any of the shops in the main street either. Here it doesn't seem to matter. Fabulous. Just fabulous.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
I just want to browse anyway. Look at this jacket. There's not a seam in it. How do you suppose...
Madame likes the jacket?
Oh, yes. It is stunning.
One of my favorite creations.
You're certainly original. I've never seen styles even resembling these before.
No, I'm not copied. Everything here is quite original.
Mrs. Graham is a designer herself. She knows how to judge quality.
Ah, yes, Elvira Graham. I am honored.
You know me.
Anyone remotely concerned with fashion knows Elvira Graham.
Oh.
Is that not so?
Well, yes, but I never thought here.
You didn't think that in such a humbled, out-of-the-way shop, one would have heard of you?
Well, frankly, no.
I keep up with things, huh?
And you are...
My name is Arch.
You don't mind if I look around?
That is what my shop is here for, Mrs. Graham. If I can be of service, just call me. I will be in the back.
Mm. Oh, I stumbled onto a gold mine.
What do you mean?
Why, these styles. The man is a genius. But how many people know about him? No one who matters.
So?
None of this stuff has hit the market yet, and I'm going to introduce it.
You can't take it all back with you, dear.
Ah, yes, I can. In my sketchbook. Tony, darling, you're looking at Elvira Graham's newest collection.
You're going to pass the stuff off as your own?
Of course. Who's going to know the difference?
You have found something to your liking?
Everything. It's impossible to choose. I'd like to bring my daughter back to see your place.
I would be honored.
We're sailing on the Lady Madison. I'm going back to the ship and get her. You'll be open all afternoon?
Certainly.
Come, Tony. I can't wait to see Marjorie's reaction to this place.
Why all the fuss about Marjorie?
I want Marjorie to come back with us so the two of you can distract him while I copy.
You think he's not going to notice you in your sketchbook?
Not if you and Marjorie help. She'll know how to keep him busy. Mother, this is unbelievable. I told you it was sensational. I just wish there were other customers around. Now, you know what to do, Marjorie. Yes, I don't really approve, but I'll do it.
What'll I do?
You stay with me, Tony. You can cover me.
Mrs. Graham, you did return.
Yes. This is my daughter, Marjorie.
I am charmed, Miss Graham.
How do you do? This is Mr. Art, the fabulous designer. Marjorie's interested in a pantsuit. She wants to try on a few things. Tony and I'll just browse.
As you wish. This way, Miss Graham. I have a few styles here I think might interest you.
Well, just stand close, Tony. We'll pretend we're looking closely at these things, and I'll get my sketches. Well, Marjorie, did you find something you liked?
I'm taking this blouse. I decided against a suit.
Oh, it's very attractive. Well, we must be on our way. We're sailing this evening.
Mrs. Graham?
Uh-huh?
Did you get all the sketches you need?
I did jot down an idea or two. I hope you don't mind. I mean, imitation is the highest form of flattery or whatever.
Is that exactly ethical?
Oh, Mother. Well, perhaps not, Mr. Arch. I shall tear them up if you feel that way.
No. I didn't say I minded.
Oh, perhaps we should leave. Tony, Marjorie.
One moment, Mrs. Graham.
Yes?
Please, no hard feelings. I should not have mentioned the subject. After all, I am flattered by your very presence. The great Elvira Graham in my humble shop, huh? Would you accept the token of admiration?
I don't quite understand.
Have you ever seen anything as exquisite as this?
Mother, how beautiful.
Wow.
Oh, they are extensive earrings, but surely you're not suggesting
you
that
you would honor me by accepting them.
This is most extraordinary and generous, Mr. Arch, but I don't see how I could possibly...
You do me a disservice, Mrs. Graham. I insist.
Go ahead, Elvira. It's an unusual gesture.
Well, thank you.
I wrap them for you. I'll be right back.
You ought to accept a kindness with a little more grace, Elvira.
But he took me so by surprise. I mean, right on the heels of accusing me of spying.
He didn't exactly accuse, Mother.
Well, I don't embarrass easily, but that was one of the times.
Shh, here he comes.
Well, here you are, Mrs. Graham. There is no one on whom they will look better. Good day, Mrs. Graham, and bon voyage.
It was late afternoon when we got back to the ship. Marjorie went to her stateroom to dress for dinner. And Elvira stored her sketches in a secret compartment of her trunk.
I'm not taking any chances with those, Tony. They are priceless.
Speaking of priceless, let's see the earrings.
Oh, yes. Here they are, in my purse. I'm so taken up with the sketches, I'd almost forgotten them. I still don't understand his generosity. Oh, but they are beautiful. Well, what's this?
Anything wrong?
Packed with the earrings. It's a lipstick.
So?
Well, nothing, really. He just didn't mention it.
Let's see the earrings.
They are extraordinary, aren't they? They seem even more brilliant than they did in the shop.
Why don't you wear them at dinner tonight?
I intend to. Curious about the lipstick, though. I wonder why he didn't mention it.
Almost ready, Elvira. It's 8 o'clock.
We'll be out in a minute. Is Marjorie there yet?
She just arrived.
I won't be long.
She wants us to get the full effect all at once.
The earrings. She's wearing them at dinner tonight?
And the lipstick.
The lipstick?
The shopkeeper at that boutique slipped in a lipstick with the earrings. It seems to match the color of the stones.
Well?
Elvira.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mother. They're breathtaking.
They are striking, Elvira.
The lipstick is perfect, isn't it? It lights up your whole face. It's almost uncanny.
I've never seen you quite so radiant, darling.
Watch out, you two. You'll turn my head.
That has been done by experts.
Oh, you're dreadful, Tony. Come on. Let's go to dinner.
You're turning heads, darling. Everyone's looking at you.
Oh? I hadn't noticed.
Oh, Mrs. Graham. Good evening. Miss Graham, Mr. Butler, how did you enjoy dinner?
Captain Miller, I owe you a million thanks. I found that boutique.
And you liked it?
It is fabulous. It's going to do great things for me. Do you like my earrings, Captain?
Magnificent.
I got them at the boutique.
Most unusual.
The man at the shop gave them to Mother.
They're most becoming, Mrs. Graham. Shall we sit down? The steward's ready with a consommé.
Oh, yes, dinner, of course. Oh, Tony, it's been the gayest night since we left New York. I think I danced with every man in the room.
Almost.
Almost?
Everyone but me.
Oh, but, well, you hate dancing.
You could have sat one out.
Be a dear and unzip me. I want to get comfortable and have a last champagne. Here, alone with you. Tony, darling. Damn. Help me with this earring, Tony. I can't get it off.
Let's see.
Just clips on. It ought to open up.
It won't open.
Well, try the other one.
I can't budge this one either.
Well, this is ridiculous. It's just a little spring. Pull harder. Ow.
Sorry, darling.
Well, never mind. I'll get them off in the morning. I'm too tired to care. I'm going to bed. Don't wake me tomorrow, Tony. I feel as though I could sleep for a week.
Good morning, darling.
It's morning already. Oh, I must look a sight. Hand me that cold cream, dear.
Here you are.
Oh, I must have been tired last night to leave this lipstick on.
You were quite the belle of the ball, you know.
You don't mind.
The price I pay for escorting the Elvira Graham.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Tony, my lips. The lipstick isn't coming off.
What?
I can't seem to remove this lipstick. I mean, cold cream always takes it right off.
Rub harder.
But it just doesn't seem to work.
The earrings. Now the lipstick.
The earrings.
Last night. We couldn't get the earrings off.
Oh, I remember now. They're still on. Yes. I can't open the clasp.
I didn't have any luck with them last night either.
Try again, Tony. Try.
Okay. It's crazy. It's just a little spring, but I can't open it.
Oh, you've got to, Tony. I've got to get these off.
I told you I wouldn't go near a place with a name like the Devil's Boutique.
You never know what you're in for. The earrings and lipstick the little shopkeeper gave Elvira were beautiful, all right. And she was immediately attached to them, wouldn't you say? We'll see what happens next when I return shortly with Act Three.
I'm High Brown, producer of Mystery Theater. This month, we in Walt Disney World are giving 16 lucky people a week of thrilling entertainment at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Send your name and address. Each week for 4 weeks, we'll select winners in random drawings. You could win an all-expense-paid vacation for four, flying to the vacation kingdom of the world. Stay at the Dutch Inn, get free tickets to rides and attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's bicentennial spectacular America on Parade. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Send your name and address to Mystery Theater, Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney not eligible. Contest void where prohibited. That's Mystery Theater, Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Entries received by September 3 are eligible for at least one drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
You're listening to WBBM Chicago. It's 11:06. Many people believe the ultimate in sleeping luxury is the Simmons Beauty Rest mattress. And for years, people who sought healthful, restful slumber were willing to pay premium prices for the famous Beautyrest mattress and felt they got full value. But now, for a limited time, homemakers John M. Smith's Furniture Showrooms are offering the Golden Anniversary Limited Edition Beautyrest for as low as $99.95. That's right. At Homemakers, Beautyrest starts at $99.95. Your chance to treat yourself to the luxury of the finest name in mattresses, Beautyrest, for a budget price. And don't you owe it to yourself to experience the ultimate in restful slumber? Why go second class on something as important as getting the best rest possible every night, especially when you can get a magnificent beauty rest for such a low price? But act quickly. This offer is limited. Come to Homemakers Furniture Showrooms opposite Woodfield and Yorktown Shopping Centers. Homemakers, a division of John M. Smith.
Beauty rest. For me to get beauty rest, I'd have to be Rip Van Winkle.
I'm telling you. 28 years might not be enough for me.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Oh, but think how refreshing you'd feel.
But that's why we have the beautiful CW here with us.
Yes.
Ah, thank you very much.
To contrast
yes.
our hideousness. Yes.
One does one's best. I'm here in the trenches of shopping land. Buying organic carrots, organic lettuce, and organic everything else.
Why not? Is it more expensive, organic stuff? It seems to be.
Depends. Sometimes it is. Sometimes they just charge you more for the pesticides nowadays. I don't know. But
I don't know.
But you have to shop around because... there's price gouging all over the place.
That's
the devil,
true.
You
that
say.
No, the devil's boutique.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, that's a good story, too.
I'm liking this. I'm liking this. This is why I, fashion is not for me. No thanks. Just a pair of sneakers, a pair of jeans, and a t-shirt. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. That was my uniform as a disc jockey. A t-shirt with either some rock and roll stuff or monster stuff on it. Black t-shirt, of course. Jeans.
Of course.
And a big mouth.
Yeah.
I have. For your benefit, CW, I wrote in the chat that a good deal of the music in here was taken from the soundtrack from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Ooh.
Yep.
Bus
I'm reckon- spoke
Zarathustra.
Well, no, not that piece. That one's pretty recognizable, but some of the other tracks on there, pieces of it were used in here.
Yeah, the symphonic. I think probably the symphonic pieces.
Yes. Precisely.
Ooh.
Precisely.
Thank
pretty,
you.
Pretty cool
I,
stuff.
I have a question. How do we know that the 2001 Space Odyssey people didn't go into the future and steal the music from the Radio Mystery Theater? That's what I want to know.
Ooh.
Maha.
Now there.
Aha. Oh, sorry.
Uh-huh.
Good old Bob got me. Yeah, Bob. Good old Bob got me going. I have received many red rubies, but have never received the raspberry. Maha. Aha.
Now that's a quandary.
They had that made-up language, too, that was pretty funny. Mo did most of it. Although he jumped in on it. Remember he was asking him questions?
Yes.
And they had
Yeah,
with a little bit of Jewish mixed in, you know, which was great.
Oh, a touch of Yiddish. I think actually that was Yiddish.
Yep.
Yep, when they when they were playing the borscht belts in the Catskills.
Yeah. And yeah, the Three Stooges. I'm seeing T-shirts for 100 years. They must be talking about when they went on stage with Ted Healy, because the first short didn't come out until 33, I believe.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they were in a movie or something like that, maybe 31, 32, before they hooked up with Columbia. They almost hooked up with, what was it, Universal, believe it or not. I believe Larry and Mo signed up the same day, and they had to go back and figure out which contract was signed first, and then it turned out to be Columbia. And Mo kind of got ticked and said, I'm running the business from now on, you knucklehead. Why I oughta.
I think they did do one of those war pictures. I think they did one of those war pictures, and I think that was for, wasn't that for 20th Century? I don't think it was for. I don't think it was for Columbia. It may have been.
A war picture?
Yeah, they were working in the kitchen somewhere during a war picture.
Was it for one of those
that
morale?
Was that Soup to Nuts? No, not Soup to Nuts.
It was a feature length. It was a feature length. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
it was a feature length.
Yeah, they had a fair-sized role in it.
Yeah, and it was it's one of their few in public domain. It's they're actually probably their only feature they're in that's in public domain.
Yeah, hold on. I'll find it for you here.
Yeah, please do.
Hollywood
That's not
Party?
Ringing.
Could it have been Hollywood Party? No.
I don't think that was it, but it could have been.
Plain Nuts? No, no, no.
It wasn't Hollywood Canteen. It wasn't Hollywood Canteen, was it?
No. They were not in that.
Swing Parade of 1946.
That's it. Okay.
What was it?
Swing Parade of 1946.
Swing Parade of 1946.
Oh,
now, was
okay.
Curly
yeah.
in that or Shemp? Because Shemp...
Curly. That was Curly.
That was probably one of the last things he did, because Shemp took over in 46 when they did the shorts. So Curly must have had his bad stroke right after that.
Ew. Let me buy some turmeric. That's supposed to be good for the arteries. Ouch.
Yeah. I've been reading that myself. Anyway, let's read our way into the end of the Devil's Boutique. Let's see how this exciting story ends from way back when.
Temperature 81 degrees in Chicago at Midway, 79 at O'Hare, 79 at the Lakefront.
On WBBM.
Let's return now to the stateroom where Elvira Graham can't seem to remove her lipstick or her earrings. Two items she was given by the proprietor of that quaint little shop in Derna. You know, the one with that odd name.
I've got to get them off, Tony. I can't be seen in the morning wearing these or this lipstick either. It's just not done.
Relax, Elvira. We'll get them off.
Just sit still while I...
Oh, there's no use trying that again. Maybe you could get some kind of tool, something to pry them loose.
Where?
Well, ask the captain. Oh, no, wait, don't. He'd think it's odd.
No different from what I'm thinking.
Mother, Tony, going up for breakfast?
Mother, you're still wearing the earrings.
Yes.
Well, do you think they're quite the thing for morning?
Well, of course not. But I'm having a little trouble getting them off.
Want me to try?
Well, you might as well. Tony and I haven't had any luck. Tony, maybe we ought to try and get a tool. Don't ask the captain. Try the purser or someone.
Oh, I've never seen a clasp so tight.
That's not the half of it.
What do you mean?
I can't get the lipstick off either.
We tried everything. Cold cream and even alcohol on the lipstick. Wire cutters we got from the engine room on the earrings. But nothing would take away the color from Elvira's lips or those dazzling earrings from her ears. The metal clasp seemed impervious to the shears. Evening finally came, and Elvira decided she could put in an appearance for dinner. The lipstick and the earrings were appropriate after six. Relax, darling. You're still the center of all eyes.
Oh, Mrs. Graham, you're wearing those becoming earrings from the shop in Derna. They're quite extraordinary.
They are indeed.
We're having a piano recital tonight after dinner. I hope you're all planning to join us.
We wouldn't miss it.
In the lounge at 9.
We never made the recital. On the way from the dining room, something happened that set Elvira off.
Mother, what is it? Stupid little trap.
Calm down, Elvira.
Didn't either of you hear that woman as we were leaving dinner?
No.
You didn't? You didn't hear her say, "How gauche, those earrings again."
To you?
No, to her whole table. I wish I'd slapped her face. Well, I can't leave this stateroom again, not until I find some way of getting these hateful things off.
Maybe the man in the shop who gave them to you can help.
Go all the way back to Derna. There's got to be an easier way.
Well, you haven't come up with it. Maybe Marjorie has an idea. I'm going back to Derna. We'll fly from the next port at which we stop.
Elvira, be reasonable.
Reasonable? There's no reason to this whole mad thing. Marjorie, you go on with the cruise. Tony and I will go back to Derna and then meet you in New York.
Oh, no, I'm staying with you.
Oh, do as you like. I'm too upset to argue. Tony, see the purser or the captain or someone and see what arrangements we can make. There's the well. And I remember that carpet shop across the square. The alley should be just ahead.
I hope he can help after what it took to get back here. Oh. We've been on everything but a camel.
That's the alley we went down, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Come on. This is it. There's that candle shop.
Still closed.
Doesn't look as though it's ever been opened.
Tony?
Yes, I see. That's strange.
The alley ends in a wall.
But it... it turned off to the left the last time we were here. That's where the shop was.
An absolutely dead end.
How could they have put up a wall? We were here only 3 days ago.
This isn't a new wall, Elvira. Look at it.
What?
It's hundreds of years old.
But this is the alley we came down, and it branched off, and we found the shop. I wasn't dreaming. You were both with me.
Tony, this is frightening.
There's another way in, another alley. I've got to find that shop. I've got to find it.
Come on, Marjorie, be quick.
Which way did she go?
I don't know.
Well, she's disappeared in the crowd.
Stay close to me.
The street's so crowded, we can't go fast enough. Oh, Tony, what are we going to do?
We pushed through the crowded streets, and finally, after more than half an hour, we found Elvira.
Mother!
Marjorie! Tony, thank heavens, I didn't know where to look for you.
Elvira, get a hold of yourself.
I've asked everyone I could find who spoke any English at all. No one, absolutely no one, ever heard of the shop.
The only thing left to do was to go back to New York. We returned home, and Elvira went into hiding. Of course, everyone assumed we were still on the cruise, so no one called. But Elvira was getting more desperate.
A plastic surgeon, my only hope.
A friend of mine had some work done about a year ago. I could find out the name of his man.
Oh, do it, Tony. Do it today.
Now, Mrs. Graham, Mr. Butler, come in.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're a friend of Charlie Poole's.
Yes, we've done some shows together.
Well, now, how can I help you, Mrs. Graham?
This lipstick I'm wearing.
Yes?
I can't get it off. Nothing works, so don't ask me how many things I've tried. I wouldn't be here if anything had helped.
Oh, well, let me see. I'm just going to scrape your lower lip a little. It won't hurt. Yes, the color's embedded in the lip tissue. Seems to be a dye.
Is there anything you can do?
Well, I could try a bleach. It would be uncomfortable for a week or so, but probably effective.
Do it. I'll do anything to get out of this clown makeup, but that's only part of my problem.
There's more.
Take my bandana, Tony. Those earrings, Doctor. They won't come off either. They're clasped completely around my earlobe.
How long have you had this condition?
It's been almost a month.
I got the earrings and lipstick in a little shop in Libya, and frankly, they are bewitched. I know that now.
Hold still a moment. Yes, the lobes are beginning to swell. We'll have to work on this. Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Graham. I'm at a loss to know what to do with these.
Oh,
have you tried...
A machine shop, an auto garage, everything but an acetylene torch.
I must admit, I've never seen anything like it.
No one has.
Well, Doctor...
Well, I shall give you the bleach for your lips, apply it twice a day, and then I'll see you again in a week.
Well, and the earrings?
You have to give them some very serious thought, Mrs. Graham. There seems to be nothing I can do, short of removing your earlobes.
Mother, Mother, please answer me.
Leave me alone, Marjorie.
What's the matter, Marjorie?
Oh, Tony, thank God you're here. Mother won't come out of her room. She locked herself in hours ago.
There's no harm in that. She's going through hell.
But I want to help her.
You can't help her. All we can do is to be here if she wants us. If she wants to be alone, let her.
That bleach isn't helping her lips. It just makes it harder for her to talk. They're as bright as ever. This morning she came out for breakfast. Tony, I nearly fainted.
I know. She's not a pretty sight.
Her face is so white and lined. Those colors just scream at you.
I thought I heard you, Tony. Where have you been?
Down at the docks. The ship came in this morning. I went to claim our trunks.
Oh, of course, the luggage we left on board when we flew back. I've never given it a thought. Was everything there?
Everything. And everyone.
Everyone?
A welcome home party.
Oh, no.
About 20. Oh. They assumed we were still on the cruise.
Oh, Lord, Tony. What did you tell them?
That you and Marjorie stayed on in Nice.
Oh, that's good. Good thinking, Tony. No one will be calling up here.
Well, here are the trunks. Just put them anywhere for now.
There's the one I'm interested in.
Here you are. And this is for you.
Oh, yes, I'd almost forgotten.
What are you doing, Mother?
My sketches. I may be in hibernation, but Elvira Graham isn't through yet. I'll fix that demon. Oh, yes, here they are.
What is it, Elvira?
No.
Mother!
What the... No wonder...
Tony, they're blank. Absolutely blank.
Elvira, please.
Mother!
You saw them. Blank. Every last page blank. He's cursed me.
Elvira, come sit down.
Why? What did I do to be cursed like this?
Elvira, time can...
No. Don't feed me any more of your stupid encouragement. What's the matter with you? Look at me. Clown. Freak.
Tony, I can't stand this. I've got to leave.
Stay, dear little daughter.
Elvira.
Dear, pretty light of my life. Your beauty won't change your freshness. But just look at your glamorous mother. Look, damn you. I've been damned. For what? Why? Is the answer to that in heaven? In hell? Ah, yes, hell. Where that demon came from. That demon who gave me this beauty. The devil himself in his quaint little boutique. The devil's boutique be damned. The devil himself be damned along with me. What did I do? Did I worship beauty too much?
Elvira never spoke another word after that. She returned to her room, stayed there night and day, and 3 days later she was gone.
Gone?
She'd vanished.
You tried to find her?
Oh, yes. We hired a private detective. We didn't want it in the papers or in the police files. After about 6 months, we gave up.
Where do you suppose she's been all this time?
Wandering, hiding. I don't know.
Well, will you look at her body now?
If you insist.
I must. Well, that was quite a story, Mr. Butler. You a writer?
You don't believe it.
I don't know whether I do or not. It's too fantastic to be true. Then again, it's too fantastic to be made up. Well, here we are. There she...
Oh, no.
What the devil? The earrings are gone.
And the lipstick. Now, do you believe me?
Elvira, you were beautiful, determined, and the world's best designer. You were on your way to becoming the greatest. But be reasonable, Elvira, and look at it this way. There wasn't room for the two of us.
There's nothing wrong in being beautiful. To other people. It's when we start becoming beautiful to ourselves that we're in for trouble. Elvira's life wasn't a total loss. Considering her personality, she ended up in pretty good company. I'll be back shortly.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
I hope you won't think unkindly about the fashion world because of our play. Those worthy institutions strive to keep us looking our best and do a wonderful job of it. Where would we be without them? In jail for indecent exposure, no doubt. But I would like to leave you with a friendly suggestion. The next time you buy a lipstick, jewelry, a garment, be sure there's a label on it. Be safe. Know your designer. Our cast included Joan Loring, Robert L. Green, Jada Rowland, Bob Caliban, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Let me give you a hand.
No. Don't you touch that case.
What? I only wanted to help.
Put it down.
Well, sure, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I see it all now. Kubik arranged for my car to stall out on the turnpike. Then you happen along as if by coincidence and kill me and take the money. That's an old trick.
Will you please tell me what you're talking about?
Oh, yes. It's the last trick you'll ever try.
Hey, what are you going to do with that gun? You can't kill me.
Oh, but I can. And I kill very well.
Look, mister.
Because I have an instinct. A hunter's instinct. A killer's instinct. I smell, I sense death and murder.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Be a good name for a store. Macabre Boutique. Wouldn't that be cool?
11:23 in Chicago at Midway Airport, 80 degrees.
WBBM. Dave, are we gonna learn anything from this at all?
You know what? I hadn't thought about thinking about it.
Shall I do something off the cuff?
Sure, why not?
Absolutely.
CW to the rescue. Erie House Radio proudly presents Cigarless Moral of the Story, as presented by the lovely and delightful CW.
Is in the eye of the beholder. Just make sure that you're wearing clothes. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Very nice.
Oh, I laugh at myself.
Excuse me.
But I liked that. I liked it a lot. I mean, I wish I had an ability for needle and thread. I admire people who can sew more than I could say. Because, first of all, you'd save a lot on clothing, but also I would be a professional cosplayer if I could sew. I would be all... over the place. Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, if I had that expertise, because cosplayers don't only just put themselves in fabulous costumes, they also hire out their services for people such as myself who are, cloth, not able to get their way around needle and thread. We just don't have that kind of skill. So I would hire myself out. I have business cards, websites. You can think of it, I'll sew it. You want to be a Jedi Knight? I can do it. You want to be a Federation officer? I can do it. You want to be an Avenger? I can do it.
What I would like is I want to get a jean jacket, a really good jean jacket, preferably a black jean jacket, okay? I have got a ton of patches. Some of them are really, really old. I mean, like, there's a really good one of Doctor Doom, you know, from Marvel Comics. I've got some horror stuff. I've got stuff from when I was in the military. And just different things from my life. I would like a jacket that has all these things that represent different eras of my life. That'd be cool.
That would be. Think, just, you know, there's tons of, I mean, I go to fabric stores and just go in through there and dream. You know, they have all the patterns. They have denim galore. They have black denim. They have where you can put, you know, patches and everything. So if you have a jacket that you or apparel that you just can't part with, it's got a great big gaping hole in it.
Yeah. You put patches.
You stitch it up. Put a patch on it. Exactly.
Yep.
So,
you know. Really, I usually accessorize with holes in my clothes.
Oh, you're very, very fashionable. That's very fashionable, too. $200 for a pair of jeans that has more holes in it than it has material. Yes, that is a thing still.
Yep. You know, we got a little time left here. Maybe, maybe, just maybe, someone could reach up to that wheel, give it a tug, and see what comes out.
Well, CW is so good at that.
I am wearing my very expensive fashionable heels, not, so I'll just leap up to the top and spin.
Exactly why we like to spin the wheel.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
So bad.
Hey, Sam?
Yes, Charlie?
I'd like to talk to you about a small matter.
I see. A small matter.
Yes. My allowance.
I presume you're going to ask for an increase.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been hoping for some folding coin, you know?
Folding coin.
I mean that happy cabbage.
Happy cabbage,
yeah.
I know. I think I know what you mean.
Green is my favorite color.
Yes, I know, yes. Well, Charlie, before you go any further, I want you to know that money isn't very important.
It isn't?
No. Why, $1 million couldn't buy happiness.
Uh-huh. No, it couldn't, no. But it would make a swell down payment, yeah.
But unfortunately, Charlie, you know your salary is frozen.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about.
I see.
How do I get defrosted?
No. I'm sorry.
Well, but Mr. Bergen, come now.
Charlie.
Oh, don't be a cheapskate, you penny pincher.
Now, wait a minute here. I'm sorry, Charlie, but after all, money doesn't grow on trees.
No. Yours did.
All right. You see, Charlie, the government is trying to keep salaries and prices down.
Yes.
To prevent inflation.
Yes. Inflation?
Yes.
What is that inflation?
Well, to explain it in simpler terms, I'll give you an illustration.
Oh, that's good of you.
Yes. suppose I take a balloon. This is just an example.
Yes.
Suppose I take a balloon and I fill it with hot air.
Uh-huh. And you're the guy who can do it, too. Yes.
Let me put it another way.
Why don't you throw it out?
No. Suppose everybody in the country got a raise.
Yes.
Where would you be?
I'm afraid I'd still be getting 75 cents a week.
No matter what you say, Charlie, too much money often paves the road to unhappiness.
Uh-huh.
Haven't you heard what happened to King Midas?
King who it is?
King Midas.
Have you? No, sir.
You haven't.
All right. I haven't read a paper today.
Oh, you haven't.
I don't even know what happened to Flat Top.
I know. Charlie, the story of King Midas is an old legend from ancient history.
Oh, what happened when you were a boy?
Well, wave that. Now, this story has a wonderful moral.
I don't like it already.
All right. Nevertheless, I shall tell it.
I was afraid you would, yes.
Long, long ago, King Midas lived in a huge castle and ruled over a vast kingdom. And he had a very beautiful daughter.
Now, it's getting interesting.
But the king's great fault was that he loved money more than anything else in the world.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a single friend. Because you know, Charlie, everybody hates a miser.
Oh, I don't know. You're just sensitive.
Oh. And it is said that King Midas had very long ears.
Yes?
Long ears? Why, just like a donkey's.
He did?
Yes. And for this reason, he always wore a hat to hide them.
I see. You have another reason, don't you?
I presume you're referring to my hair?
Or the absence thereof, yes.
Well, that is neither here nor there.
Well, it certainly ain't up there. All right.
Nevertheless, one day while King Midas was counting his gold, suddenly a vision appeared before him.
What is a vision, Bergen?
A vision?
Yes.
Well, when you see something that isn't there,
uh-huh,
we call that a vision.
How? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what that's... What do you call it if you don't see something that is there? I'll not dignify that with an answer. Well, that's as good a way as any to cover up your ignorance. Oh. So this spirit said to King Midas, I'll give you one wish, and you can have anything you want in the world. And what do you suppose he asked for? A sea book? No. No. Because he loved money so much, he wished that everything he touched would turn to gold. Uh-huh. Took the words out of my mouth. Yes. And the spirit said, your wish is granted. Tomorrow morning, everything you touch will turn to gold. Yeah? Yes. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Everything turned to gold. All right. That night, the king went to bed, but he was so excited waiting for morning to come that try as he might, he couldn't get any sleep. Yeah. No. Couldn't sleep a wink. He should have read this story. No. Get him in, don't I, those little things? The next morning, sure enough, his wish had been granted, and everything he touched turned to gold. Sounds like a lot of bullion to me. All right. Why? He touched the table, and it turned to gold. Then he touched the rolls, and that, too, turned to gold. And he touched his food, and that turned to gold. The guy's in a rut. Yes. If he touched his stomach, would he have a pot of gold? No. To do it, I couldn't. Never mind that. When the king's beautiful daughter came down to breakfast, as was her custom, she ran up and kissed him. Don't tell me. I know what's going to happen. You do? I don't know how I know, but I know. Well, I'll tell you. She, too, turned to gold. Mm-hmm. She stood with her outstretched arms like a golden statue. And the king cried, my child, what am I going to do with you?
Well, he could use her for a hat rack.
Oh, no, no. The king was miserable, and all day long he cried, if I could only get rid of this terrible curse. So that evening, the spirit took pity on him, and he appeared again.
What did the old spook say?
Well, I'll tell you. He told the king to rid himself of this golden touch, he must go down to the river and bathe in the water.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the way it goes. Soak the rich. It's all we do.
Nevertheless, it cured him of this terrible curse, and he brought back a bucket of water and sprinkled it on his daughter. Instantly, she came back to life, and she said, oh, father, I have had a most horrible dream. I dreamt all the roses had turned to gold. And the king said, my child, it was a horrible dream, a terrible, horrible dream.
Thank you.
Yes, Charlie.
You know something?
What?
You're an awful ham, is that?
There we go, with a little Charlie McCarthy and the story of King Midas. What are we going to do next week,
spin,
Dave?
GW. Great spin. So what's happening next week, Dale?
I don't know. I can't see. It's a little foggy.
It is.
It's going to be foggy all weekend long. Friday, it's the Goon Show, The Whistler, and Suspense. And on Saturday, we're going to squeeze in not only CBS Radio Workshop, but Theater 5. So five shows next weekend for you right here on Mutiny House Radio. Wonderful. And... what, in about 2 minutes? No, a minute and a half. It's time for Horrible Horror, starring Gargoyle, over on the Twitch.
There you go.
Twitch.
Wasn't that a song on the Flintstones? Twitch, in Bedrock.
Oh, yeah.
Twitch.
With Ann Margrock. Margrock? So Margaret, Margrock.
Nope, she didn't. That one, she's saying, I love you, but I ain't going to be your fool. I dump a dump a dump, 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 dump a dump, dump, dump a dump, 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 dump.
Okay.
The Flintstones were awesome. They had everybody. They had Hokey Carmichael. that, everybody.
Yeah,
well, we'll see you next Friday at 6:30. Head on over to the Twitches. Good night.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Almost perfect. Not quite, but almost.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
The timing.
Timing is everything in life. So they
Boy,
say.
Ain't that the truth. Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
Yeah. I was listening to the show yesterday.
I'm sorry.
Work. I was listening to the
Were
show.
Were we bad?
We apologize.
Were we bad?
I was going to say the first story that you had about the two Finster sisters, that was really good. That was chilling.
Yes.
That was very chilling.
It was good was program.
Was that the light? That was the lights out. Yeah. The lights out.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Arch Obler, as always.
Well, yeah. Definitely. That was kind of a surprise ending.
Yep. Yeah. It's that was a good story. I think all three had their merits, but that one was probably the best of the three. It was.
That's why I love me some Arch Obler.
That was really good. I can see that almost as more of a night gallery episode.
Ooh. Yeah, it could be. Do, 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 do. Remember that music?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the...
Yeah, I wonder.
There was another thing that was akin to night gallery. It was hosted by Orson Welles. Was it A Touch of Evil?
A Touch of Evil was a movie he did.
It was Donut Theater. No, sorry.
Oh, God, stop.
I have room to talk. I have no room to talk, believe me.
Okay.
I'm turning into Orson Welles.
Sponsored by Liposuction.
Oh, God.
Wait, now you've got me doing it. Stop it.
My work here is done.
You've crushed her, Dale. You've
I feel a sense
Dale.
Of accomplishment.
No. No, but, yeah. Jeez. I know he hosted something. Or it was either him. No, I'm sorry. It was Sebastian Cabot. Do you remember this show?
I do remember Sebastian Cabot hosting. I do remember that. Let me see.
So is it any surprise we go from Orson Welles to Sebastian Cabot? Sorry.
Can't win on this one. Can't win on this one, can I?
Another big guy.
Let me see. Ghost story.
Thank you. That's it.
Ran 1972-73. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, that's on YouTube for free. I've been watching that from time to time. And also...
Oh, is it? You know what? I only remember a couple of those stories. I'll have to tune that in. Thank you.
Yes. And also, I don't know if anyone is familiar. It was British. I discovered this by sheer chance because there's a British sci-fi show that I was informed about called UFO from the 1970s.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on YouTube for free as well.
Hmm.
Yes, I have some of those on the DVD. I think I have all the whole series on DVD, actually. Yeah.
But there's a thing I never heard of until I found it on YouTube again by Brian Clemens. A bunch of mysteries by Brian Clemens. And you have all kinds of actors from back in the day. You have Judy Carn from Laugh-In did episodes. You had Barbara Feldon who did Get Smart.
Are you talking about Thriller?
Is that it?
There's one that Pluto has. It's and they there's a channel. They run like Outer Limits. They run Twilight Zones. And they run this British show called Thriller.
Perhaps that's it.
I've seen everyone you've mentioned, like Judy Carnes and Barbara Feldon, and playing different roles. And they're like terror mystery stories, you know?
Yes. Yes. Back in those days when everyone was pathetically thinner than they even are now. I mean,
yeah.
My God, didn't they eat?
Yeah, no, we had, that's the generation that spawned Twiggy, so no, they didn't.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I guess the Big Mac, yet we didn't have they didn't have the Whopper yet, did they?
Perhaps.
I think so.
Oh, the Whopper, yeah, they would have by then.
Oh. They hadn't been contaminated yet by supersize
They just might not have held the lettuce or pickle, you know, back then. I don't
know.
Yeah, they had a
People had the sense back then not to wolf down seven of them. Perhaps that's part of it. I don't know.
Hey. CW, of course, this is also for our listeners as well in the archive. But I'm hoping that on February the 23rd, you can join us. It is the 800th Erie House Radio. So
yep.
I'm hoping that you can join us that day. We've got some shows about the number 800. And we will also, on that night, we will also hit our 1500th complete radio program that we've shared.
Wow.
So
getting a little long in the tooth
here. I know Friday's a little tough for you, but I am hoping, because you're such a big part of the show, that you're able to make it at least a brief appearance during that night.
I can always call in sick at work.
Well, don't lose any money over it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that means just call us while you're on the clock, that's all.
Yeah, that's all we're saying.
I just sneak in the restroom from time to time, going in there every other 5 minutes.
That would be appropriate, listening to us from the restroom.
That would be appropriate. Well, that stinks.
Something stinks around here.
Oh,
I think it's Dale K. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. But the 23rd, Friday. Let's ink that in on the calendar to see if we can manage that. 800.
Yeah, if you can call in for a short appearance, that would be really cool because you've been such an amazing part of this, along with Gar and even this guy named Dale K. Of this show and being at our 800th episode, I'd love to, if you can, you know, like Gail said, don't lose any money over it, but if you can, we'd love to have you at least make an appearance that night.
Oh, thank you. I will do my utmost. Here's hoping that, 800, perhaps I should play a lotto ticket.
Yeah, I'll take 008, please. Yeah, I don't really can do that, can you?
Well, yeah, you can play it 008-800-080.
I wouldn't know. I've not fallen into that gambling group myself.
I have to admit, I haven't, yeah, but when was the last time that big lotto hit a billion? Was it last year?
Yeah, sometime in 23,
Yeah, and if you
played some for that. I'm like, yeah, for that kind of money, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, if it hits a billion, that's the only time I usually ever go near there. Yeah, if it's a billion, I know the odds are astronomical.
Because, of course, 23 million would never do anything for you.
Oh,
no.
Please. That's practically slumming.
That's right. I like the way you think.
Me, 23 million in my bag. Oh, I'd hang my head in shame.
You could provide your own free internet that way.
I would definitely consider making a film.
No, actually, yeah, I would actually know. I'd hire someone to teach me how to get free internet better than I'm doing now.
If you had that much money, why would you need free internet?
Because
the principle
of it, the richer you get, the more miserly you get. Come on.
That's true, I guess.
Look at how rich Bezos is and how lousy the Amazon workers are paid.
Yeah, I guess. Bozos.
Bozos. I am so happy. I am just thrilled to pickles and that his ex-wife got literally 50% of everything.
Yep. And she's doing a lot to give much of that away as well.
She is. She's absolutely fabulous with that. I mean, she is not, going berserk buying, I've got to buy this fashion and 12 dresses and 12 different colors and I need 50 houses and 50 different countries and that sort of nonsense. No, she's really doing some seriously good work with those richly deserved money because she married him when he was poor and there was no prenup.
Probably why there was no prenup, yeah.
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 If I came into that money, I think I'd wanna do something for critters. Like I would actually like to put money towards reinvigorating the line of the Scotch Collie, which is where the rough collie comes from.
Oh, are they going extinct or something?
They're very rare now. They're very rare. And they're a land race, so they have more diversity than like a rough collie. And they're not introducing any new blood into the rough collie lines either. So at some point it's gonna be inbreeding. And it's probably gonna be, maybe thousands of years from now, but it's going to be a breed that's going to be gone. But the Scotch Collie, where they came from, that's what they need to keep going.
Hmm.
They were from the hills of Scotland, and they have all the qualities that the Rough Collie has. They're extremely gentle with children. They're very friendly. I think, the First World War, they tried training Scotch Collies for the Army, and it's like... They won't be told to attack. They will protect, but they won't be told go over there and bite that guy. You know what I mean? Like a shepherd, yeah. You can train them to be aggressive. A German shepherd, a husky will do that. Very similar personality type, I think, to a German shepherd. But a rough collie, a Scotch collie, you can't tell them to attack. They're not going to do it. It's like, no, why?
For something like that, if you really, really wanted to, you'd have to breed it into them the way it was bred into Dobermans and Mastiffs. and pit
funny
bulls.
Though, those dogs can also be the most gentle, depending on
That's
how
true.
You bring them up. I've seen, they're incredible.
The reason there are so many biting attacks is because they have owners who are lazy as all get out. They don't take proper care of these animals. They don't put their foot down with them because these dogs have generations of breeding because, for the most part, a lot of them were bred specifically for battle, and they still have that in their heads. You have to have an iron fist with a velvet glove with them. I mean, people think it's really cool owning a pit bull, but they don't know how to handle them.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd enjoy that kind of a dog. Collies are so much different because you have to build a trust with them. You have to understand that sometimes they're very stubborn. They'll look at you like, really? I prefer not to. Whatever you tell them. And you have to be firm. You can't really scream at them. They're very sensitive dogs, and they don't like loud noise and stuff. So sometimes it seems like they're leading you, but you know, you just got to kind of outsmart the dog.
It sounds more like a cat. You know, you look at your cat and say, stop that, and they just ignore you and keep doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't possibly mean me. Stop that.
And
the cat. Stop.
Do you remember seeing, it was viral a couple of years ago, I think before the pandemic hit, of this little boy, he was in his front yard, and this dog came out of nowhere and grabbed him by the ankle and started dragging him, and his cat, his mother's cat, came barreling out and headbutted this dog. Fur was just on edge, just leaped there, and the mother came out right afterwards with a broom.
I think I've seen
this
that.
Just, oh, my gosh, you've got to put it in the search engine for YouTube, cat fight dog.
Yep.
And this cat just went charging. I mean, wow.
You gotta love an attack cat.
Oh, yeah.
Just the very concept is awesome.
Can you see a burglar coming in there? Aw, this will be an easy place. Look at that little cat just sit there. Next minute, you got fur, fangs, and claws all over the place. Help me! Help! No! 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 No!
Oh, I always thought, you know what? If somebody breaks in your house, throw an undeclawed cat at them.
Oh, God!
Yeah, he's going to be sorry. He'll know he was in a fight.
Yes. They won't be hard to find. Just look for someone who has large claw marks all over them.
Yep. Deserved. Leave my critters alone while I'll mutilate you. I'll mutilate them.
Yes. I'd love to have a basement and with a grating there. Someone goes down there and breaks in. Oh, so you found Cthulhu, have you? Good luck with that.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Someone has just pulled in the driveway with a car. I think it's a... it's a ruby red Corvette that
nice.
I don't know if you can hear that room room.
No.
I thought that was my stomach, sorry.
Yeah.
And they're parking way on the other side of the parking lot, so I guess they don't want anyone parking near their baby.
Yep. That
so
would
this
be...
thing is... Oh, you could probably buy a small house for what that thing is. Nope. I'd say you could buy a medium, large house for that car.
They're pretty cars, though.
They are, and when I'm saying red, I mean red, red.
Like,
I mean...
like bright red candy apple red.
I mean red rum red.
Red rum. Red rum.
It looks like Gar has a classic show tonight.
Uh-oh.
Which means he must not be feeling too well.
Oh, no.
He was tired as hell last night.
He was. Yeah, he
left us.
He zonked out as almost as soon as we hit the 2 hour mark.
Yeah, very unlike him.
Ooh. Well, Gar, please feel better.
Yep. We're thinking about you, brother.
Yeah. But with that being said, I'll do my final duty of the evening, if I may.
You may.
Absolutely.
Let's see. The anchor is down and coming down the gangplank. The one, the only, Mr. Durante, take it away.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we say, and we could think it too. Good night.
Oh, cheese cracker.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Where's Evan?
Everyone.
It's the normal costume with me.
Yodelpalooza.
And carving that Corvette. Well done, Mrs. Calabash.
Do you mind signing off the radio?
Good night, guys.